Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Good morning, Las Vegas. This is the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast. Thanks so much for listening this morning. My name's John Racine with the Church at Las Vegas, and it's so nice to be enjoying all this beautiful fall weather that we've been having. It gets warm in the days and cool at night. It's such a wonderful thing. But let's talk about that a little bit as we jump into Ecclesiastes chapter 1 today. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Now, the last couple weeks, we've had abbreviated shows because of the tragedy on Sunday several weeks ago with the shootings. And then this last week, our good friend here at the church, Fernando Ramos, was in a motorcycle accident, was killed. So, boy, just the shortness, the brevity, you never know how life is going to go. Just kind of hits you really hard sometime. Just learned this afternoon that Barbara Raymond has gone to be with the Lord as well. Good friend, lady that had lived a full, long life, and she passed away up in Reno, Nevada, this last Thursday. So let's open to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, and again, starting in verse 1, the Bible says, "The words of the teacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem." Of course, most believe that this is Solomon, and Solomon writing about his life. Some say at different times. I think it's probably more toward the end of his life as he's reflecting and looking back and some of the things that he says and the things that he was able to experience. But here are his words. And of course, Solomon also wrote so many of the Proverbs and of the Psalms and so many other different things that he wrote, songs and Proverbs and lots of different things, and of course Ecclesiastes here. But again, verse 2, we find so confronting, I guess. Meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless, everything is meaningless. Wow, what a great way to start out a book, right? This is part of what the Bible is known as pessimistic literature. So it kind of takes something and frames it in a not so good state, or from the opposite state that you'd normally seem to get you to kind of realize what he's trying to say. And so what a bold way, what a kind of shocking way to start off this writing. Meaningless, or maybe your translation says vanity. Everything is vanity. Everything's utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Now, if you take that just by itself, you know, that sounds like something that, you know, some of these rock bands, you know, come up with, that it's just all death and destruction and everything's meaningless. And, you know, that is a sad way to live. It's a sad way to think that nothing really matters, that everything is just wasted. It's all meaningless, and so you might as well just get whatever you can out of this life, and no matter how much you end up with or how little you end up with, it's just all worthless and meaningless, and nothing really matters. And again, that's the point that he's trying to make outside of a relationship with God, outside of understanding it from God's perspective. This is exactly what life is like, and we can probably all attest to it to a certain degree, that without the hope that God holds out, without his promises, without understanding it from an eternal perspective, everything is pretty much meaningless. So let's jump down to verse 3, and he's going to start talking about this. He says, "What do people gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun?" You know, what do you really get? You know, you make a few bucks here, you buy a house, you have some cars, you go on a vacation, you do this, you do that, you labor and sweat and toil and give your life to a company or whatever you're doing. And really, again, apart from an eternal, everlasting perspective, what do people gain from all their labors? You know, most people just incur a bunch of debt and they toil and toil and toil and they give their life and everything to someone or some company and then that's it. And some people, you figure that out during this life. It's like, what's the point? What's the use of me doing all this? And so Solomon is just kind of trying to get us to recognize here that really, if there's nothing to be gained by it, what's the point of it? Let's listen to our first song this morning. This is a song by Casting Crowns called Slow Fade.
Second glance that ties your hands as darkness pulls the strings. Be careful, little feet, where you go, for it's the little feet behind you that are sure to follow. It's a slow fade when you give yourself away. It's a slow fade when black and white turn to gray and thoughts invade. Choices are made, a price will be paid when you give yourself away. People never crumble in a day. It's a slow fade. Always near. Be careful, little lips, what you say. For empty words and promises lead broken hearts astray. It's a slow fade when you give yourself away. It's a slow fade when black and white turn.
All right, we're back. What a powerful song by Casting Crowns, and what a message that a lot of times that meaninglessness, that hardship, and when you realize that it doesn't really matter, that he who has the most toys still dies, even though people think that he who has the most toys wins, he who has the most toys still dies. And it makes me think a little bit about what Jesus said over here in Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, where he says, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You see, treasures here on earth, that's all that happens. They either get eaten up or rusted out or thieves break in and steal them. You know, ultimately, even if you amass a whole huge fortune, what good is it? You're going to leave it to somebody else. You can't take it with you when you die. And we've joked about this before, but you never see a U-Haul following a hearse to the cemetery. Okay? People can't take it with them, no matter how hard you try. And so where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If your heart is just in the things of this world, that's all you're going to get. You're just going to get the kind of a passing satisfaction of having things. And the longer you pursue that, the more you'll realize that they don't have the attraction. That you can gain the whole world and you're still never going to be satisfied, because there's never enough. There's never fulfillment in just things. It has to be in relationships, and especially in a relationship with our Creator. Jesus goes on to say in Matthew 6 and verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? You see, this is what people do. They fret and worry, and they're anxious about things. They don't know what they're going to do here or there. And so they go to work, and they're stressed about how to pay the bills. And everything's just like being a gerbil in the cage. It's kind of like a big rat race. And I was reading a devotion the other day, and he was talking about how that we need to try to do our best to take care of our physical bodies. And he was saying, but it's not just what you eat, it's what's eating you. In other words, all of the guilt and shame and worry and fretting and stewing and racking up debt and all the things that it seems like this life entails, if you're not careful, that it can crush you, that it can ruin your life when you allow those things to happen. And so going back to Ecclesiastes chapter 1, it's no wonder that he says meaningless, meaningless, utterly meaningless, everything is meaningless. And what do people gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun? End result, nothing. Maybe just a temporary satisfaction, but that's it. And then he goes on to say in verse 4, generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All streams flow to the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the streams come from, there they return again. And so in Solomon's observation, basically everything just goes on like it normally goes on. You know, people come, people go, people are born, people die. You know, the sun rises, the sun sets, you know, it goes across the sky. The wind blows from one direction and then another direction. The waters run down the mountains into the lakes and the streams and everything else. And it goes back to the sea and it evaporates, goes back into the clouds and falls again. I mean, you can watch it for your whole life and it just keeps doing the same thing over and over again. And if that's all there was, again, how meaningless. Instead of realizing, man, God created all of these things. All of these things are to His glory. That they're all things that He created for mankind to enjoy and to be blessed by. And so, boy, you know, instead of meaninglessness, there's lots of purpose in life. And friends, that's the kind of purpose that we need to have and seek after and find. Let's listen to our next song this morning. This is a song by the Newsboys called Live With Abandon. Not meaninglessly, but with purpose. Let's listen. Again, what a great song by the Newsboys. Live with abandon. You know, we need to live with some fervency, and we need to live with some excitement. We need to live with purpose, and we need to live not just for the moment, but to realize that there is an eternity awaiting us, and how much more wonderful life seems when you have the understanding of an inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade. There's something to look forward to where we'll be in a state where there's no more death and no more sorrow and no more pain and none of those things that are a part of this life. And so, again, looking verses 4 through 7, life just seems to go on. The earth just seems to go on, and we need to realize that it's more than just that. God did these things on purpose. In fact, let's go to verse 8. Verse 8 of chapter 1, he goes on to say, all things are wearisome, more than one can say. The eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear its fill of hearing. Boy, isn't that the case? That when you think of never seeing anything, I mean, there's always something new to see. There's always some new thing. And especially with the internet, there's more to see and more places to see that you've never even been to, or you never probably will be able to. You can see amazing landscapes. The Hubble telescope has allowed us to look into the galaxies, places that probably in our lifetime will never go, but just the eye is never satisfied, and there's always something more to hear, and there's always something more to read, and there's always something more to gain. And yet even that in and of itself can just get overwhelming when you think of, well, what's the point? Who cares if I learn all the languages of the earth? Who cares if I get multiple PhDs? So what if I watch every YouTube video that there is, which probably don't want to. There's some YouTube videos that are not so great out there, right? But the point is that it can get wearisome if that's all there is. If it's just about fulfilling ourselves right now and satisfying ourselves right now. All things are wearisome, more than one can say. The eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear has its fill of hearing. Verse 9, what has been will be again, and what's been done will be done again. There's nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? It was here already long ago. It was here before our time. No one remembers the former generations, and even those yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow them. So again, without something bigger and grander and more wonderful than just existing for right now, everything's meaningless. You know, what has been will be again. What's been done will be done again. Yeah, it might be repackaged. It might be a new technology. It might, you know, appeal to this or that or the other. But it's really just a copy of something that was done, or just an improvement on something that was done before. I mean, a car is a car is a car is a car. They're fancier and they look nicer and the paint's better and the options are better and the technology is better. But guess what? It still gets you from point A to point B. And so there's really nothing new under the sun. And it's already been here long ago. It was here before our time. But here's the thing. There is something new under the sun. In fact, when a person says, hey, I'm tired of just living life, I want something bigger, and they turn to the author of life, when they come to know Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the Savior of all mankind, who died on the cross, who was buried, who rose from the dead, when they come to understand that Jesus died so that they could live, wow, now that's powerful. When a person hears the gospel of Jesus Christ, when they repent of their sin, when they're baptized into Christ, the Bible says that we become a new creation. Okay, not physically, but spiritually. The Bible says that we're dead in our sins and transgressions, and yet the Lord can raise us up to walk in newness of life as well, when we will obey the gospel. When we'll quit looking at life with self-centered, selfish eyes and turn to the Lord, the God who loves us, who cares about us, who gives us life, who wants us to live forever. He doesn't want us to just be a statistic or something in the past. We are remembered by our Creator. Isn't that awesome? Hey, let's listen to our last song this morning. This is a song by Matt Redman called Your Grace Is Enough. And I want you to remember that God's grace is enough for all of us if we will learn to trust in Him and His amazing grace. Let's listen this morning.
sinner's restless heart. You lead us by still waters and to the sea, and nothing can keep us apart. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, oh God. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough, your grace is enough for me. Great is your love and justice, God of Jacob.
We hope you know exactly how amazing God's grace is and that it is enough for us. And you know what? If you don't understand God's grace, if you haven't really ever heard about it in all its fullness, we want to encourage you to come visit us here at the Church of Las Vegas. We meet at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. 3388 South Decatur Boulevard, that's right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn, and we would love to tell you about God's grace. We would love to share with you His love for you and the fact that He demonstrated that love by sending Jesus to us. Hey, you're going to have to learn about your sin, too, because that's part of understanding the gospel, why it's so good, because we've all sinned and fall short of God's glory, and we need a Savior more than anything, more than financial security, more than possessions, more than anything this life has to offer. We need the everlasting life that we can have in Christ. So come join us Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, or Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. We want to encourage you to visit our website at thechurchatlasvegas.com, and please just keep on standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. God bless you.